Well, good morning, everybody. If you're a reader, do keep that passage in front of you. And if children would like to come and take a seat at the front, that would be a great help because we've got a number of activities through the talk this morning for the young people to help with. So if you'd like a good view and the chance to help with that, please come and take a seat here on the cushions at the front. Well done. Now, the final verse of the Bible reading we just heard, a day when Jesus did a wonderful thing, and the people who were there at the end of the reading were amazed and praised God. Let's pray as we start. Our gracious God, as we consider what Jesus said and did that day, I pray that you would refresh our spirits, young and old. Please fill us with amazement and with praise and thankfulness to you. Amen. As I said, it was a wonderful day, but it all started sometime before with five good friends. They lived in the town of Capernaum by the lake, and these were friends who did everything together. They went walking together, they went climbing together, they went sailing together, they went fishing together. They were the kind of friends who would do anything for each other. But then one of the five friends fell seriously ill. They thought for a while he might die. But in the end, he made a slow recovery, but he was left paralyzed. He couldn't move his arms or his legs. And back in those days, there was nothing the doctors could do to help. So he was stuck there, lying on the couch, looking out of the window at the lake he loved so much. And his friends had to go on their expeditions without him. Poor man. But one day, one of his friends called in to see the paralyzed man, and the friend was very excited. He said, "I've heard that Jesus has come back to our town." Now they knew, everybody knew, that Jesus had power to heal, to make people better. So the friends thought, if only we can get our friend to Jesus, he will make him well again. So they put their friend on a mat, and they took one corner each, the four of them, and they carried him to the house where Jesus was. Now, I've got a picture here. This is a picture of what most people's houses looked like in those days. Can you see that? Most people's houses had a flat roof like this and had steps coming up the outside of the house onto the flat roof. Now, when the friends got to the house where Jesus was, they found there was an almighty scrum, a crowd of people. There wasn't any room inside the house even for one more person, let alone four people carrying somebody on a mat. Now, can you tell me, kids, can you remember from the reading we heard from the Bible, what did those four friends decide to do to get their friend into the crowded house? Do you know, Anya? Yep, that's the first thing they did. They climbed up the steps onto the roof. What did they do then? They dug into the roof, yeah? Made a hole. Amazing, isn't it? They lowered him in front of Jesus. Imagine being in the house with Jesus, and first of all, you hear a scratching up in the roof, and you look up, and something's falling down, and then you see a hole in the roof, and the hole's getting bigger, and then you see four sweaty faces peering in, and then you see a mat being lowered down. Now, to help us imagine what that would have looked like, we have got our own mat to lower down. So, young ones, if you would like to, make your way to one of the four strings, and we can have two people or more on each string if you like. Now, adults sitting near the string, if you could help them untie the knot, and we're going to lower it down and see what it was like. See what you can do, adult. I hope you can untie it. These things can be a bit of a tangle, of course. Are we untied on all four? And then if a young one can take a string. We can, if necessary, snip. And then it'll kind of go out of your hands, so you might want to tie the loose end to it. So this is an experiment conducted for the first time for your good pleasure here at St. Mary's Wargrave.
Are we ready?
Yeah, snip that now. And then okay. I'm just going to tie this on, actually. Yeah. How are your knots, John? Let me
knots
do a reef.
Short.
Good. So, remember what was happening? They were in the crowded house and the friends cut a hole in the roof and lowered the mat down. So lower away and let's see what it might have looked like. So they were looking up and down came the mat. Oh, down it came. Can you have a look up there? So I bet they were really careful as they let their friend down on the mat. Down he came. Down he came. And you can see, I was thinking of asking someone to lie up there. But I changed my mind. And what's on the mat? Could you lay that out, young man? That's the person, the paralyzed man. So we can lay him on the mat. Thank you very much to our lowerers. And if you take your seats again on the cushion. You know, I like to imagine that Jesus smiled or even chuckled to himself when he saw what lengths, how far these four faithful friends had gone to bring their friends to him. Now, what Jesus did that day shows us two important things. The first thing it shows us is our great need, what we need more than anything else. Now, again, think back to the story we heard read, if you can. Can anyone remember what was the first thing that Jesus said to the paralyzed man? What was the first thing he said to him? Gee, I'll open this to adults as well, because it's a more subtle question. What was the first thing he said to the man? Yeah, it's quite a surprise, isn't it? The first thing Jesus said to the man who couldn't walk was, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, that would have been a big surprise. This man had come for help with his legs, not with his sins. You can imagine the disciples nudging Jesus and whispering to him, "No, Jesus, it's his pins, not his sins. You're helping him in the wrong way." So why did Jesus say, "Son, your sins are forgiven"? Well, it is not because this man's paralysis was necessarily caused by his sin. Sometimes if we fall ill, we think, is it because I've done something wrong? But usually it's not. In this fallen world, this broken world, sometimes it's the best people who fall ill. That may have been the case with this man. It's not that the paralysis was caused by sin. No. The reason Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven," is because there was something this man needed, we all need, even more than being able to walk. And that is forgiveness from God. Now, I guess when Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven," the man started to think. And he probably thought about how back when he was well, how selfish he'd been at times, how proud he'd been at times, how he'd sometimes been dishonest. He probably thought about hurtful things he said or unkind things he'd done. And maybe he thought about, since he'd been ill, how ungrateful he'd been to his four friends who'd looked after him so well, how grumbling he'd been. And he probably thought about ways he'd disobeyed or ignored God. And he probably said to himself, "Yes, I can see it now. My deepest need is for forgiveness from God." Now, I've got a quick quiz for us to help us see the difference between things that we want and things that we need. So, under here, Camilla has made this for me. These are things I need, and these are things that I just want. So, our first one, a trip to Disneyland. Is that something I need or something I just want? What would you say? Yeah. Yeah, it's something I just want. So let's pop that down there. What about water? Is that something I need or I just want? Do I need water? Yes, I do. So we're going to put that here. Ah, here's one. Sweets. Do I need sweets or do I just want them? What do you think in the middle? Do I need them or do I want them? Yeah, I'm afraid that's right. We don't need them to survive. We might just want them. Ah, now. What about this one here? Friends. Do I need friends or do I just want them? What do you think? Want them, but maybe a little bit. We need them as well. That's probably somewhere in the middle, isn't it? Oh, now, what about this one? To get better at tennis. Do I need to get better at tennis or do I just want to get better at tennis? That's right, Chris. Chris is thinking I need to get better at tennis. But in truth, I just want to get better at tennis. Is that in the right place? Yes. And then medicines. Actually, sometimes we need medicines, don't we? We don't want them, but sometimes we need them to get better. Well, the reason, the very first thing Jesus said to the man was, "Son, your sins are forgiven," is to show us that the most important thing we all need is forgiveness from God. We can add it to this column. So, grown-ups, as we look out at the world, we see a number of desperate needs, don't we? The need for peace, the need for food, the need for medicines in different parts of the world. And these are real and important needs. But the shocking message of today's passage is that there is something every man and woman needs more than those things. And that is for forgiveness. So that before we meet our Maker, before we come before his judgment, we are forgiven and ready to meet him. That's the first thing we see in our passage, our great need, something that I need more than anything else, forgiveness. But we also see in our passage Jesus's great power, that Jesus has power to forgive. Now, when Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven," there were some teachers of the law, experts in the Bible there, and they started to grumble and complain to themselves. They thought to themselves, "Why does this fellow Jesus talk like that? He's blaspheming. He's being disrespectful to God. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now, part of what they say is right. To sin is to break God's law, so logically only God can forgive it. For example, if I broke Camilla's phone, it's no good Linda saying, "Don't worry about it, I forgive you." No, I've broken Camilla's phone. If I break God's law, they're right, only God can forgive. But they haven't yet realized who Jesus is, so he does something to help them see. And Jesus says to them, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say to a paralyzed man, 'Get up and walk'?" Now that takes a bit of thought, doesn't it, that question? In one sense, they're both very hard. Only God can forgive sins and make a paralyzed man walk. But actually, anyone could say your sins are forgiven because it's invisible. You can't see if they've really done it. But if you say, "Get up and walk," you better be able to do it because everyone's going to be able to see whether you can or not. So, can you remember or can you guess what was the second thing Jesus said to the paralyzed man? The first thing was, "Son, your sins are forgiven." What was the second thing? Yes? Very good. "Pick up your mat and walk." Very good indeed. He said to him, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." And can you remember what happened when Jesus said to the man, "I tell you, get up and walk"? What did the paralyzed man do? He did it. You know, I guess the man hadn't walked for years, but something in the way Jesus said it made him think, maybe I could. And gingerly at first, he got to his feet and he found new power in his legs and arms. Jesus did the thing you can see, making him walk, to prove that he really did have the power to do the thing you can't see, to forgive sins, the power of God. Now, kids, I've got a job for you, and it's a cleaning-related job. I want you to come up in a second and grab, you can take your pick, either one of my sprays or one of my cloths. And I want you, while I'm carrying on talking to the grown-ups, to see how clean you can get this whiteboard, hopefully absolutely white. And as you do it, be careful not to spray the sprays into your eye or mouth, and be a little bit careful at the edge of the board as well. So off you go, grab one of these sprays and cloths, and you can help each other, spray or cloth, whichever you prefer, and see how clean you can scrub this thing away. Well done. You can take a spray and a cloth if you like. There we go. And come round the front, Arthur, and you can get to work, all of you, spraying and cleaning on this. Well done. Off you go. Super. Thank you very much. What we're learning this morning, folks, is the reason Jesus came into the world, the reason he gave his life on the cross, was to pay for our sins so that we can be forgiven. If we put our faith in Jesus, if we trust him to be our ruler, try our best to live as he wants us to live, if we trust him to be our saviour, the one who takes our sins away, actually, if we put our faith in Jesus like that, then his message to us is the same as his message to that man. Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. Keep going, folks. Right down to the bottom, we're going to need to go. So maybe we've come to church conscious of great needs, or conscious of many needs weighing on us. But with our faith in Christ, wonderfully, our biggest need is met. It could be hard to take in the reality of forgiveness. We may still feel guilty, and we may still feel weighed down. Faith in Christ, the guilt of sins has been taken away. The way to friendship with God is open. And eternity is secured. That is Jesus' great power. With our faith in him, our sins are wiped away so that we are left with perfect timing, just as clean as this board. Well done to my wipers. Stand aside, we'll let the grown-ups see. It has completely gone. Very good. Thank you very much. And do grab your cushions again. Just as I conclude, this forgiveness that we receive from Jesus changes us. Think how it changed that paralyzed man. Yes, Jesus forgave him, but he found also that Jesus gave him a new power to walk. When Jesus forgives us today, he gives us a new power to walk or to live as he wants us to live. We find little by little, he gives us power to say yes to doing the right thing when it's not easy, and no to doing the wrong thing when it is. And Jesus gave the paralyzed man an exciting new purpose in life. He could get back out there with his four friends, working and playing with them again. Actually, when Jesus forgives us, he gives us a new purpose as well, so that like the four faithful friends, we can work for him, loving other people, helping them, and helping them come to Jesus and grow in faith. Well, the people who saw Jesus that day were amazed, and they praised God at what he could do. Well, we have heard that Jesus has the power to meet our greatest need, to forgive our sins. And this forgiveness brings with it power to walk as he wants us to walk, and purpose to live for him. So we too today can join those people that day in amazement, in thankfulness, and in praise for God. Amen. And thank you to my helpers for your lowering of the strings and your cleaning of the whiteboard perfectly white. You can go back to the people you came with. Thank you for your help.